What time is it?
It's time for Ricketts Birdie.
Hey, this is Wings Bursey, Mike, Steve, and Dave. Boys, nice to see you. Good to be back in the saddle. Steve, my man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave. Pretty good. Well, for now, I mean, the weather's nice right now. It feels like spring. It's easy to be positive. But if you give it 2 days, we'll be slammed with snow. And, you know, the whole mood shifts with the exception of one key day. That is Wednesday, despite the snow, will be a very fun and exciting day in Wicked Spursy land. Oh, shall I continue, Dave?
Yeah, I was going to just let you keep going with it.
Why, Steve, whatever could you be talking about?
I am talking about the second round of the U.S. Open Cup, which will star, once again, the home side, Vermont Green FC. And it should be a very fun time. You know, I mentioned this at the start. I'm sure we're going to mention it again at the end, but, if any of you guys listening out there were able to check out the, stream for the Lexington match, you might have an idea as to why I know I'm quite hyped for Wednesday. I mean, the crowd was insane. It was like 30 degrees out, and you still had 3,000 people out there in force, screaming, singing, some bearded lunatic running up and down the stands, just trying to get people excited with his megaphone. Can't quite put a name to the face, but I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Put a face to the name, though, for sure.
No, but it's another one, right? We got, what is it, Carolina coming up?
Carolina Core.
Can I just ask a quick question? And Mike, I know that you have, you know, some knowledge about the club more than Steve and I do, but I know you don't have ultimate omniscient knowledge. But is there a scenario where like a game like that would get called due to too much snow, couldn't clear the field, etc.? Or is it just go time regardless? Any idea?
As far as I know, it's going to be go time regardless. I mean, unless it's like a Burnley situation from last year where they got like a foot of snow and like. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know it was coming.
Dude, I'm expecting like I think it was a World Cup qualifier that the U.S. played in Colorado, and it was just covered in snow. You got the guys out there with shovels clearing the goal lines off like constantly.
And it was like 17 degrees outside too.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've got in mind, except it'll be, you know, our little semi-pro Vermont team going up against a professional side again. Looking to get another historic win.
Another notch in the belt, right?
Yeah, man. Look, it was a good game. Lots of fun attacking football. I was joking around. One of our players really reminded me a lot of Pedro Porro, the way that he was coming up from right back at times.
Except he wasn't Spanish. He's Portuguese.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talking about Benny Prego?
Benny Brago, Pedro Porro, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Might as well be brothers.
May as well be.
Steve but offends the Portuguese. That's our title for tonight.
So yeah, how am I doing? I'm happy that we've got spring weather. I'm not looking forward to the winter, but the big asterisk is Vermont Green on Wednesday.
Very nice. Very nice. Mike, before you tell us about how you're doing, I want to ask you guys, next week, Eclipse Path of Totality, all the excitement that goes with that. What's that look like for you fellas? Are you in the path? I'm not in the path. I'm outside the path.
So Steve and I are directly in the path.
Directly.
Yeah. So
directly.
Like, you can do the Trump style, like look at it with no glasses, just like man up and burn the retinas.
No.
I wear my sunglasses.
I remember that I physically got sick one time when I accidentally caught a welder, you know, when I was working, I worked in an aircraft engine plant years and years ago. Huh. Yeah. And I turned and looked at a at a welder without welding glasses on. I got physically sick.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, as far as the eclipse goes, it's, I think we're both directly in the path. Our kids got the day off of school because travel is going to be ridiculous. They have canceled half of our OR cases at the hospital. So really? I'll be going home early that day because I would be driving home right in peak. So it'll be interesting. So I'll be going home early that day, and it'll be interesting. We got our glasses here at the house. It's going to be fun.
Nice.
Very nice. Just remember, don't do what Mr. Trump does and stare directly at the sun.
Hey, what's that? Yeah. Steve, how about you? Big plans? Does the little guy understand? Like,
what that is? He understands.
Does he?
He gets it. We've explained it. He knows all about eclipse. He's got his glasses good to go. School's canceled for him as well. It should be a fun little thing. What I'm not looking forward to are the expected thousands and thousands of people coming up to, you know, stand on the side of the road and look up.
They're talking 60,000 people.
I feel like it's overblown. I feel like it's not going to be as big as they're saying it is.
I agree. I agree, yeah. But we'll have to wait to see if it bears out.
Yeah. I'll just be blasting Total Eclipse of the Heart the whole time.
Nice. And after it's done, you go get a haircut at Sports Clips. Anyway, over to you, Mike. How you doing, man? What's going on? That was my dad joke for the show.
I've got a lot of cool shit to tell you guys.
All right. Let's hear a lot.
Yeah. So I got to go see my parents this weekend. Up on the mountain. No, that was fun. It was a fun time. I haven't seen my parents or the rest of the extended family for a while. My mom and dad do like a Wyndham timeshare, which is different than like one of those Caribbean timeshares where you have like the one house. They have like a Wyndham timeshare, so they can like go all over the country and pick out, you know, Wyndham hotels like all over the country, and they get to travel, and it's kind of cool. So they were up at Smug's for Easter. I found out a little late, so we ended up down in the Rutland area, but we did stop over there. Smug's is like 20 minutes from my house, so Smuggler's Notch Resort. And went there, had a lovely dinner, had some chatting with the extended family. It was great to see my uncles, my aunts. Found out my cousin, one of my baby cousin, who was the first baby that I actually ever held in my own arms when she was born. She is now pregnant and going to be having a child, and I'm very excited about that. So that was exciting news. And then Saturday, got to go down with Vermont Spurs, watch a win, which we'll talk about, and then went down into my mother-in-law's house with the kids and my wife, and Amy and I got to have adult time where we went to the Paramount Theater, and we got to see the legend himself, the space ace, the spaceman, Ace Frehley. And it was a fucking show, dude. For a 73-year-old man, he's the same age as my dad, and I'm looking at Ace up there just doing his thing. He did his rock star, his Ace Frehley thing, without the makeup, of course, but did his Ace Frehley thing. And just like he had when I saw him in 1996. And I got to tell you, man, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, my dad and him are the same age. My dad could never be up there doing what he's doing.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about that way, isn't it?
Yeah, man, it really is. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as, like, you know, me looking, you know, in my younger years, looking at professional athletes going, I could not do that. You know, so
have you seen the pictures of, like, where it says, like, hey, look at this hippie grandma. Oh, wait, no, that's Steven Tyler. Have you seen those?
It's exactly right. I mean, Ace wears a wig and everything now because he's got really, really thin hair. His hair is still long, but he kind of wears a wig now. So it's like, yeah, okay. But he's great, man. He was great. He was out there and he said, you know what? I don't miss a day. I don't miss a day being with Kiss because those guys are way too serious, and rock and roll is about having fun.
All right.
Yep. So he went out there and blew our eardrums out. And then the next morning we had a little Easter egg, of course, Easter egg action. Kids got, you know, Lucas got a new soccer ball, which he was in dire need of. And, you know, the kids got the Squishmallow things. Have you seen these?
Ooh, yeah.
No, what's a Squishmallow?
It's like a stuffed animal thing, but it's like very squishy instead of like
Gotcha.
They make really good pillows, to be honest.
They're like, you, if you're hurting for a pillow, man, you just lay right down one of those, you fall right asleep. It's better than
absolutely.
It's better and less it's better than the My Pillow guy. Let's just say that. Well, less offensive.
Pretty much everything is low. Yeah.
Less offensive than the My Pillow guy.
That's the comp you're throwing out, man. All right. I guess we start.
Those pillows fucking suck anyway.
I've never tried one. Never given that guy any of my money for sure.
But I am the crazy bearded guy with the megaphone at the Vermont Green Games. I'm just getting my voice back from the last game. So hoorah, let's do it again.
All right, very
let's
good.
Let's do it again. Absolutely. Let's do it again.
Speaking of games, you guys want to talk about a little bit of the football, if we will?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Steve, why don't you dive into it for us? We had a little match over the weekend. What'd you see? What'd you like? What'd you dislike? How'd you feel?
So I want to tackle this by addressing the question that you had posed to us in our little WhatsApp chat, right? Because I think that sums up my feelings.
He got it that time. He said WhatsApp chat.
I got it. I was looking right at how it's spelled so that I could get it right.
You have to look at it, otherwise your brain doesn't do it right.
So, Dave, the question that you had asked, when have you pulled a Fulham and followed it up with a Luton in your mm-hmm. personal life, mm-hmm. right? And I thought
I love that you're doing this, Steve. I love that you're doing this and gave us some thought.
I did. I thought about it because it was an interesting question, right? And the first thing, and really the only thing since that has come to my mind, I mean, you asked this question, what, 2 hours ago? And I've been sitting there chewing on it. And really the first and only thing that came to me was, you know, when I was a young, young, young child and I wet the bed. And it's like, oh man, you wet the bed. That's awful. You know, you got to do better. So then the next time I just, you know, pissed myself on the way to the bathroom, which is kind of better, but not really. And that's
progress, though, right? It was progress.
It's progress. And that's kind of how I feel about the game. Like, yes, it was progress. We did better. We should have done a lot better. You know, so yeah, I'm glad that, you know, I kept the bed dry, but at what cost? Like, we still started poorly. We still conceded a stupid goal due to individual errors. It's
like five just, of them.
Yeah, you could literally just sit there counting as it's happening. Like, that guy screwed up, that guy screwed up.
Started with Decky, you know, ended with Basuma. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because my buddy actually showed up to the Vermont Spurs watch party, and he gets there a little bit late, and he tells me, he's like, I looked over and you were almost done with your beer already. And I was like, yeah, it was that kind of first like 15 minutes, just pretty rough. But yeah, it was just, it was not cohesive whatsoever. They lacked a lot of urgency. You know, it just seems like a lot of these guys just haven't kicked it up a notch. And I don't know if they're starting to feel comfortable in their position in the team as starters or, you know, what the deal is. But some of these guys are routinely making stupid mistakes that they should not be making, especially at this level. And they keep getting away with it. You know, the first name that comes to mind is Basuma. You know, he seems to be making a multitude of errors over the last few games, yet continues to start. And I get that Benton Kerr's got his broken toe, and I get that, you know, well, what other options do we have outside of Benton Kerr, you know, but Hojbjerg played well when he came on. I expected him to start, to be honest. And I just have not seen enough from Basuma over the last few games to make me feel like he deserves to be a nailed on starter right now. So, you know, he's just one guy I'm sort of picking on right now. You could argue that, you know, Dragosin kind of came in and had a bit of a blunder, but I feel like he grew into it at least and, you know, did much better as the game progressed. Poro, same deal. He had a bit of a brain fart, but then again, grew into it and we know what he can contribute. Basuma just hasn't felt like the guy that we all want him to be mm-hmm. since like match week five. And he's one of those who I feel like could do with a little bit of time on the bench, not as like a punishment, but just as an incentive to kick it up a notch, compete a little more, put more effort in there. The other thing that I'm not totally sold on is Lone Striker's son against some of these guys. I feel like if we had a healthy and fit Richarlison to be up there, that would have been a much, much better option for most of the game. But I get it. Ange is making do with what he's got. I will say that I was surprised and pleased to see a halftime substitution from him. Right. I did not expect that. I thought he was going to wait until at least the 60th minute, but he recognized that there was a problem, not with an individual player, like he says, but with the structure of the team, the shape of the team, and he corrected it, and it worked. And given Mike's name, fake Brendan Johnson right now, I think I want to pass the torch over to him and ask him, you know, what about that change paid off?
You know, I mean, everybody, you have the 50-50 crowds with both of our wingers, right? You have the 50-50 crowds. Like, you have the guys who are loving what Timo is doing. You have the guys who are hating what Timo is doing. I think Timo gets a little more hate than Brendan Johnson. Brendan Johnson gets hate because he costs a lot of fucking money. But I mean, you can't expect Brendan Johnson or Timo to just come in and be the guys straight off. I think they're growing into it. They're growing into their roles. They're two different players on opposite sides. Brendan Johnson, for me, is a phenomenal guy to bring off the bench. He's had goal contributions in every single one of his bench appearances that he's had a goal contribution. He's fast. He's willing to take a guy on. He's never going to be that guy. He's not going to do. Remember that shit that Deke was doing his first year. He would be strong in possession. He'd turn and just knock the ball down the field. Kind of like Gareth Bale used to do, just knock the ball down the field and chase it. Mm-hmm. Well, Deke's lost a lot of his pace with a couple of injuries that he's had. Like, that's what Timo Werner does on the other side. You know, I think Timo and Brennan are two dangerous, very, very dangerous players for different reasons. Brendan Johnson has no problem taking on a man. He knows that it's not because of his pace, but it's because of his quickness and his feet that he's able to take on a man and get the ball across the front of the box or across the front of the goal and into the box. Like, he does not give a shit. He'll do it. I mean, he's got scars to prove it. And then you have Timo on the other side, another guy who, you know, it's probably still a lot of the Chelsea shell shock that people don't like him. Who knows? Who cares, really? Like, the guy's out there doing a job. I think Timo was fucking great on the day. I think that Brendan Johnson is one of these guys who's just going to keep doing what he does and poking and plodding along. And he's going to be a sometimes starter and he's going to be a sometimes bench contributor. But right now, for me, he's really great off the bench. And not to say that Deke wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. I think that Deke was one of those guys that he has to have a lot of possession. He likes to have the ball at his feet. He's also not afraid to take a guy on, but he's not as quick as Brennan is. So, and I don't necessarily always think that, like, Brennan comes on to run at tired legs. I mean, then you're going to get into a space where they're going to be people saying, well, he can only do well when he's running at guys who aren't as fit as he is, who have less energy, you know, than he has. Because I think that Brendan Johnson has quality. He's very young. He's gonna play into it. Like, we have a young squad, man.
I mean, you know what I say to those people? I say to those people, tactics. Who cares, right? Like, the tactics are there for a reason. If you don't have somebody energetic to run at tired legs, you're not making that sub. That is just stupid. No matter what the squad is, if you have somebody who excels off the bench running at tired legs and you're trying, oh, well, whatever, he's just tired. It's like, no, that's tactics, right? Like, if you're the opposition coach and you see Brendan Johnson warming up on the sidelines, you need to start thinking about, okay, well, what can I do to cope with that? Do I need to cover? Do I need to tell these guys to shift, to drop back a little bit? To, you know, pack things in, restrict his space, tactically foul him.
This is, but we have to also think about like Brennan's performance from the previous game was not great, right? Like from that full match, he was probably one of the one of the worst, right? The worst of the worst game that we played all season.
Consistency.
It is consistency, and it's got to be consistent with Ange too in his substitutions, because from game to game he's not consistent with the substitutions, and you know, which is fine. Which is fine for now, but like once we get into year two, we're going to want to see a little more consistency. We're going to want to see that what we've been promised, which is we're going to take the ball from you in the midfield and you're not going to get it back. Like we need to see that. And for right now, like if Ange isn't going to be consistently good and tactically smart with his substitutions, then we're not going to be able to come back and win games. It's a pattern. We concede early. It just happens, right? Spurs just concede early. And, you know, again, it's fine. Like you said, when they scored that goal, there was a lot of stupid things that happened, right? From Deki losing the ball to Bazuma's big boneheaded move where he came off the ball, right? To Pedro Porro trying to occupy the same space as Christian Romero for some reason and then getting picked. And the ball gets out to Chong, who, like, to his credit, nice finish, right?
Yeah.
Nice finish.
Look, nothing against him. You know, we gifted it to them. We set it up on a platter. They took advantage.
Sure, I mean, fuck it. I mean, if you... Luton's not a good team. I mean, we should have a fun team.
They're a fun team.
Sure, they're plucky. They're fun. They're energetic. They play their game. I don't know why we kept on hearing that they were sitting back and playing, you know, park the bus. Like they weren't. They were pressing. They were counter pressing. They were working hard. They were playing their game wide open. We just had the ball a lot, and we were attacking. We were putting balls in.
Yeah. There's a difference between parking the bus and defending with your life. Like,
yeah,
they didn't set up to park and be defensive. They were just forced into that position because of how we play the game.
Right.
But, you know, there's
two thoughts I want to share based on things you guys have said. Steve, one, I'm flashing back to something you said much earlier in the conversation. You talked about Ange and the substitution at halftime as a system change that he saw that something needed to be fixed in the system. And I'm starting to try to think and look at his substitutions through that lens, right? Like just the like for like replacements aren't going to happen. When he makes replacements, I can't say this with certainty, but it seems like there's a little bit of switching up when they do happen later in games, but maybe that's how he approaches it, is if something's not working in the system, he's going to make the change. And other than that, he's going to let his guys run. I don't know. Maybe time will tell. We'll see what comes of that.
That's what he said in the post. One of the post-match interviews he gave was basically, you know, Deki didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't a punishment to come off, but he was tucking inside more and he was playing a little bit more narrow. But he was noticing that on the opposite side, Timo was staying wide and was getting plenty of space, plenty of opportunity. So he just wanted somebody to come in and do that on the right side, which is exactly what Brennan was there for. Deki, interestingly enough, I honestly might even argue that there's a case to put him starting in the midfield in place of Madison. Mm-hmm.
I can support that.
Yeah, looks like he could use a bit of a rest, a little bit of a, hey, you know, you're not a locked on starter type deal. Again, you know, it's not to
Madison,
punish
Madison seems
guys.
Very adrift of late, you know what
he,
I mean,
like he does. Just, and we know he has the quality, but, you know, I feel like some of these guys, every once in a while, you just need to, like, light that fire under them. And, hey, yeah. You know what? You are not safe. You know, same with Deki, same with Sun. You know, if they start to get into a lull and they're not doing what they need to be doing, light that fire. You know, it's not, you know, a punitive. It's supposed to be pushing for getting the best out of them, making them understand that there's no free pass. There's no easy option. They're not guaranteed anything. They have to prove it every day, every match.
Yeah. And so related to that, and this goes to something you said, Mike, just thinking about Brennan Johnson coming off the bench and being impactful, you know, off the bench with fresh legs. I'm going to throw out some names that we haven't said in quite a while, but I feel like there are players that need to not be starters and can be really good impact players. I flash back to like Serge Aurier, Musa Sissoko, Lamella. I'd even say it about Højbjerg. Like, I feel like all those guys, when they come on and play a role late in the game, they can actually shape and impact a game. The problem with all those guys is when you use them too much and too often, and you let them start starting and getting into the lineup every time, boner mistakes happen, right? And big things happen that cause you to say, hey, this guy needs to hit the bench. And I'm not saying that Brennan is the same profile as any of those guys, because he's not, but Brennan's kind of the same thing. I feel like when he had a long run of games, his energy and his impact like drained over the course of a long run of games. And I'm not saying that's like a fitness thing. I'm not saying that at all, but there's something just kind of intangible for players like that, coming off the bench and having that impact.
That's why teams like, excuse me, like City are successful. That's why teams like, mm-hmm. like, and I know it's a swear word here, Arsenal is getting, no, they're getting successful because they have no problem rotating players. You have, you know, you have your De Bruynes, you have, you know, your Rodri's, your Phil Foden, and the like, you know, that are going to be nailed on starters basically every single week. But then you have guys like Grealish and Doku who you know, interchange. You have John Stones and Nathan Ake that interchange. You know, you have Kyle Walker out there who starts some games, doesn't start some games. You know, Bernardo Silva basically starts plays every game. But like, you have guys that you can rotate. And you keep everybody fresh. It's so mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad thing that, you know, an Arsenal's building the same type of a thing right now. As that's why they're becoming successful. We just never did that. We were recovering from COVID and the $1 billion investment in the world's best stadium. But now that we have the money, we're going to be able to build that. We have a coach that wants to build that. And we have a coach who wants to build up the youth system now too. And in the future, we'll be willing to use youth players. So like, you have to have, it's not a bad thing if you have to sit Madison for a game and put Kulusevski in there. Or if, you know, Giovanni Lo Celso, who came on and actually was pretty brilliant, man.
Yeah,
he was pretty impactful until he gets his next fucking injury. But he was impactful. I didn't, you know, I smiled and laughed when Steve was talking about Bissouma because I didn't think he was as bad as Steve thought he was. He had the big boneheaded glaring mistake that led to the goal, but like, he played into the game. Dragosin was okay. I don't think he's very comfortable playing on that side. I know we were sold the bill of sale that he could play either side center back, but we know that he's strongest on the right and he's not great with the ball at his feet. But I appreciated a lot of the things he was trying to do. He's trying to put long balls over the top, trying to change it up a little bit. And we know that's not what Ange necessarily wants, but like, there's a lot of things that we have to like focus on for the future. You can't have it all at once.
Yeah, the other thing that I would argue along the same lines is I would like us to get away from bringing on these, you know, 30-year-old players who want to be starters still as impact subs. I would rather we have younger guys who are plucky and they're full of energy and they want to prove a point.
Steve, with the Jamie Donnelly, here it goes. I see.
That's coming, exactly right? Who I'm thinking, right? Like,
yeah, but Steve. So you're all of a sudden not okay signing Timo Werner?
No, Timo's fine
because he's gonna be 29 next year.
Yeah, but he serves a key purpose. When
these guys are more fit now, though. You got to think about it, because these guys are more fit than they were, you know, in the early 2000s, late 90s, like in the 80s, like. 30 isn't what it was anymore. Like, you have guys like Lewandowski who's still being successful. You have guys like Kerry Hain who are still like scoring 40 fucking goals in the Bundesliga.
Individually successful.
Yeah, but
they're still doing it. And they're still getting signed, right?
I know. I'm just saying.
The thing about that is there's
that last guy you mentioned.
You got Messi who's successful. Going out there and playing half the games, you know, and still being successful.
MLS, but
exactly half the games, like I said, because they're not playing turf.
No, but the point that I'm trying to make is it's these guys who feel like they should be nailed on starters, like Højbjerg, who wants to be starting these games. Timo, I don't mind because as far as I can tell, he doesn't mind being that impact sub. And if we have our fit players, we also have Manor Solomon out there, who is a younger guy who would be that sort of plucky impact younger guy to come in. But I would love to see, because you look at, again, City.
You would think that injury, like his leg broke in half.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's been gone forever. He doesn't,
to be honest.
Yeah, he's Perisic basically for me.
Yeah, he's just, as far as I'm concerned,
he's playing in Turkey.
He's gone.
Or wherever, yeah.
It's a good thing we didn't pay anything for him. Sorry.
We stole him from Ukraine. That's real nice.
Yeah. You know, requisition, you know, whatever. I'm just nitpicking.
Somebody didn't understand the on a free part of that transaction, did they?
What do you mean free? No, but like, you know, Donnelly, I strongly feel like he's a good player to have as a bench option to come in there and just like, you know what, kid, you want to get some game time, go out there and show me you deserve it. Like he had some bright cameo appearances so far. I would love to reward him more. But yeah, like looking at City, I mean, you've got Akanji playing now, and he's somebody who, you know, it's not that they spent $80 million on him and he's coming in and starting, you know, he kind of had to wait his turn, take advantage, get in there. You know, Nathan Akey they did spend quite a bit of money on him, but he's another one. He had to wait. He had to bide his time, and he was rewarded. I would love to see Spurs start to reward some of these younger players a little bit more with these.
I think, you know, they will.
They will. I'm sure they will. But again, we still have some non-Ange players that need to be moved on in the summer, I think, to make some space for either youth guys coming up or, transfers that fit into Ange's philosophy, I think, a little bit better.
Okay.
You know what I'd like to hear some more philosophy about?
Philosophy?
Lovely beer?
Well, yeah, Steve, this is your, okay. Hold on.
Beer for tacos.
Let's do this. How's your
beer? Why is Steve getting more interesting beers than I have?
I don't know. That's a good one. Steve, how's your beer for tacos? And then I want to have you ask a really important question when you're done.
Dude, this is really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a Goza style lime juice, salt. I mean, you can really taste the lime. You can taste that, hint of coriander that's in there.
Nice.
It's just super refreshing. Like, this is a beer for tacos. I had stir fry for dinner, but it works. I bought very this nice. Because we won. I felt like, we needed to reward ourselves as Spurs fans for sharing in that victory. This is Off Color Brewing, based out of Chicago, Illinois.
Must be good.
Yeah, pretty damn good.
Steve was able to peruse the endless aisles at the Bevy after the Vermont Spurs meetup. So
I looked on one shelf and went, hey, that's an interesting can art. I'll take it.
That place is nearly overwhelming, you know? Like there's
Steve
a lot.
Steve picks his beers by can art, like my daughter Absolutely. Picks her like my yeah. daughter makes her March Madness picks by what colors do they wear?
You know, you're just as well off making your March Madness picks that way, because
I don't know. My son's got some fucking magic formula, because he's got 50 picks right.
No kidding. Is that him on one of your sheets? Because you're crushing
No, that's Lucas.
That's Lucas. Is it really?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's funny.
I was looking at it like 20 minutes before the brackets closed, and I was like, this looks interesting. I'm gonna enter this. So I entered it and then told him later, I was like, buddy, you're in my pool, but I'm going to need $20.
Yeah. He's running away with it. He's
completely running away.
Doing very well. I've just been looking at it like, can I make a run at third? Okay. What do I need to happen with these people above
Dave,
me?
Dave
I'm sitting like
10th back.
Right now, I think. Yeah. Just trying to get my admission feedback. But hey, Steve, you got a question on your mind? I think it's worth asking.
I do. You know, I've talked a little bit about what I'm drinking, but I want to learn a little bit more from a certain person. And it's not you, Dave. But,
Athletic light. That's what we're. Oh, you didn't want to hear what I
said. That no, garbage.
Sorry. Hey, Mike, what you drinking?
Oh, geez. I totally I'm unprepared and I'm shocked that you asked. It's baseball season, folks. Opening day was last week. The Red Sox MLB started the Red Sox out west this year, so I actually don't get to stay up and watch more than a few innings of my favorite baseball team. But today I'm going to do a beer. It's a fun looking beer. It's like
Speaking of fun looking baseball,
you got a little slider grip there, I think.
Graphics.
A little slider grip. Very nice.
I saw a very fun baseball themed graphic, just to interject, about the White Sox. And you guys are more into baseball than I am, but is it true that after the opening game, they were the only team to have not had a runner in a scoring position?
Yes, they didn't get anyone past first base in the opening game, and they're currently 0-3. Yeah, they are they are meeting expectations this year. But I saw some really exciting new food options at the ballpark, so you know there are things to be excited about with the White Sox. But it's unfortunately the menu that tells you where we are.
Oh shit, I'm so excited! I can't wait to go to Chicago and go to a game with Dave, so we have good menu options.
Great menu options.
We'll have better terrible food options baseball in Chicago than we did in Boston. I can tell you that.
That's true. There's no doubt in that.
But Boston's fucking terrible. But anyway, this beer is called Perfect Places. I don't know why it's called Perfect Places. It's got like a baseball theme on it. Hmm. It's from Blue Jacket Brewery. It's in the district.
District 9?
No, not District 9. The District of Columbia.
Very nice.
So
we're going to South America.
It's a nope.
It's Colombia.
Oh.
This is an India Pale Ale, single hopped India Pale Ale made with Nelson Sauvin hops. So that means that these single hops means that it's used for taste and for bittering. Nelson Sauvin is a hop that is from New Zealand. It was developed in New Zealand. I don't even know if it was. I want to say it was an accident. It was kind of an accidental hop. It's like a wild hop.
Oh, that was just like me.
Wild hop. Great. A rough intro hop.
So a lot of breweries didn't use it for the longest time, and then like when the Australian hops and the New Zealand hop revolution kind of happened
each other very much
4 or 5 years ago. I'm not going to let you derail this fucking thing, Steve. people in the U.S. Kind of started to embrace it. It's a really good hop. It's got kind of like a white winey kind of taste usually. And not as much of the tropical kind of notes, more of like a berry or a dry kind of grape smell and taste to it. So let's just get right into this. This beer is, it tells you right on the can here. This is great. Serve at 48 degrees.
Degrees.
Yeah, and it shows you the type of glass to put it in. I did not do that.
I like my beer colder than that. How about you, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, 48 is
sometimes though when it gets a little warmer, like the characteristic of the hop changes.
Understood. I get that.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, we'll get into this. It smells pretty good.
While you're doing that, I'm going to tell a funny joke about, well, it's not a joke. It's a true story about my son, Logan, who you guys know lives down in DC, home of that beer. Home of the Nats, which is a fun ballpark to go to as well, with good food. But when he moved into his apartment, and our European listeners will appreciate this, he was talking about how he was able to keep the thermostat nice and low, and my wife Beth was like, well, what temperature are you keeping it at? You know, we usually keep our house pretty cool. He's like, oh, I've got it on 17. We're like, 17? What the hell is 17? He's like, that's just the number it's on. It's on number 17. It's like, is that Celsius? He's like, oh yeah, it's Celsius. And so we had to teach him how to change it over to Fahrenheit. And
the dumbest smart kid I've ever met in my life.
There you go.
He's not even a teenager anymore.
No, he's not. Smart kid, but you're right. Yeah, smart kid, but some things. It's on 17.
It's one of those kids you say he's book smart. I kid you, Logan.
He doesn't listen, so I know I can get away with
you're ragging on him. Yeah, that's great. Lucas doesn't listen either, so that's great. He's heard his dad say those words though before, so this is 7% alcohol. It's thick. It's definitely like, you know, it's got that grapefruit juice look again.
It's opaque is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. It's words I use almost every fucking day, and I can't think of the word to come out of my talking about dumb smart kids.
Looks like it's got a lead apron on. Am I right?
Hey, radio opaque is what we say.
Nice.
So yeah, this beer has that characteristic of the Nelson Sauvin. It's not ultra bitter. It's not going to blow your face off with the tropical, kind of tastes and smells. It's kind of muted. It does have that dry white wine kind of vibe going on, but it's got that thickness of an unfiltered IPA. I like it a lot. I'm not going to say I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of it, but if I were in DC at bluejacketdc.com, I definitely buy one. I mean, the can art is super cool, the baseball. And since it is baseball season, you know, we went with this beer. I like it. But again, all right, nice. Like I said, I'm not going to go look for it. Mm-hmm. You guys dialed in?
I got mine in, waiting on Steve's. As usual, we are tightly arrayed, correct, Steve?
Yeah.
What do you got, Mike? Let's hear it.
Steve's an analyst, so.
He's an analyst therapist, right?
He's an analyst therapist.
The analyst.
He's an analyst.
Told you not to make up those cards.
I've been rewatching Arrested for like the eighth time. Tobias makes me laugh more and more every time I watch.
That's fantastic.
Oh. I'm afraid I blew myself.
Yeah. Made a big mistake.
David Cross is an all-timer, man. He really is. This one for me gets us at a 3.6.
Yes!
Steve brought it home. Very Steve nice.
Brought it
Steve,
home.
Very nice. Steve was 3.6. I was 3.7. Mike, once again, dialed in.
I had a feeling he was going evens today.
See, I was thinking odd. Yeah. So, well done. All right, Mike. Music, song. What goes with this? Your description was just, it kind of threw me off a little bit. It's kind of confusing sounding.
I want to give it an Ace Frehley song, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, because I would call you out for being predictable.
Because, what's even more predictable is I'm going to say John Fogerty, center field.
Yeah. All right.
I just like looking at the can. I'm like, I get the song in the back of my head. I'm like, fuck, it's never leaving. It's never leaving. It's John Fogerty playing CCR, but not playing CCR. It's gotcha. It's the song that got him sued by himself.
How's that? I don't know that story.
So he got sued for center field because it's very close to a song that was played and owned. It is owned by the publishing company that owns CCR's music. So they sued him for center field and won. So the publishing company, I can't remember the name of the song, but the publishing company, like he basically got sued for his own song because it was too close to another song that he wrote that's in CCR's catalog. And I can't remember the name of the song, but you know what? John Fogerty, we celebrate the entire catalog.
We celebrate. It's a holiday.
That's a Mike Judge line from Office Space, in case you're
it's a
Michael from Michael Bolton.
I'm just thinking of Rick James on Chappelle's Show. It's a celebration, bitches. That's what I'm thinking of.
Enjoy yourselves. It's a celebration.
Michael Bolton's a hack.
That's been Hey Mike, What You Drinking. Well done, Mike. Well done, Steve. Good stuff. Steve, I'm wondering as we pivot to the next phase of our conversation, what's up with the youth football club that you and our buddy Nikki Winks are managing? Have we started practices up yet, or are you still in organizational mode? Where are you?
Still in organizational mode. Our season starts next month, technically.
And they still don't have a goddamn center back. The U4 league is really, it's a really tough league to crack, and they just can't find a center back.
Can't get a center back. He's wrong-footed. Whoever they got is wrong-footed, right?
We got an email.
Little Lydia, she just doesn't have it.
Little Lydia.
We got an email from the organizer a little earlier this afternoon. You know, they're still looking for a couple of coaches and assistants for the U4s, because I guess they've got a ton of kids signed up for it. It's one of those emails where they're trying to guilt some of these other parents into stepping up, because, oh, well, if we don't get enough, we'll have to cancel some of these kids. Like, anyway.
If anybody's good at canceling people, it's Nikki Winks.
Well, she slips into this like, we're also going to have a coach's clinic on the 28th. And I texted Nick and I was like, did you know about this? Like, this is news to me. So, yeah, news to me. I'll be out of state. Okay, well, I don't need no coach's clinic. I'm gonna respond to her. Do you even know who I am?
Do you know who was undefeated in his league last year?
Coach St. Alvin's Rec League.
Yes, grand champions. Self-proclaimed title, of course. You know they don't play for anything. No silverware, nothing, but I'll still take the plaudits and bragging rights and all that. But yeah, they're 3 and 4 year olds. I mean, what kind of coaching clinic do I need? I'm just going to have them play like tag and, you know, sharks and minnows and, you know, shit like that. Like,
he's not going to have them doing rondos and shit.
No, as much as I would love to get some 4 year olds to try to do a rondo, I think I'm just going to stick with let's play
it's
some Luke, fun
it's
games
Lucas's and, favorite part. He loves
rondos. Dude, I loved doing those. Those are a lot of fun. But, yeah, you know, for a four-year-old, you just want to kind of run around, take shots at the ball. And
oh, yeah, Lucas is 11. I forget.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a good time. But, yeah, just another month to go until I get to step back out onto that nice green field. There may be snow. There may not. Who knows? It's Vermont in May. Anything could happen.
Any changes to your approach with the parents this season? You got any new strategies up your sleeve you're gonna whip out?
Yes, you're gonna
whip anything out, but you know,
given the age group, I've decided that if anybody causes trouble, I'm just going to speak to them as if they're a 4 year old. Oh, sounds like somebody needs a body break. Why don't you go and put yourself over there and take a couple of deep breaths and come back to me when you're calmer.
Man, they didn't talk to four-year-olds like that when my kids were four. I couldn't have handled it. Steve, you're pretty good at that. I couldn't handle that.
Well, it helps that, you know, I've got the...
How about I punch-a-size your face for free?
Yeah, I pretty much got fired as my assistant coach. So. Hey, you know that pent-up aggression that you have working in the school district? Why don't you just let some of that go in this volunteer role? That can't possibly get back to
Milton,
you, right?
Milton, so For what it's worth, Milton Youth Soccer is a very, very serious. They're still a rec club, but they're a very, very serious club. They take it very seriously. They play in the Vermont Football Association League, and they have, for some reason, like Milton is one of those up and coming towns that just has numbers and numbers and numbers of kids, like, and. And it's a great program because it doesn't cost families a lot of money to get into. And I'm all for it.
They're great.
If you have the means, sure, get your kid into a place where you can pay the money to do the extra shit, but you have just as good a coaching and just as many, if not more, opportunities to play great competition in a rec league, especially like Milton and they really have it under control. Like they know their shit.
I mean, what other league is going to be pressing Ange Ball and a bunch of 4 year olds?
What other league is gonna lure Coach Steve away from the St. Albans Rec League, right? I mean, that's
I could tell you that Farpost
speaks to their intentions and ambition.
Farpost pushes Johan Cruyff total football at 4 year olds. So
all about the Ange Ball.
You know what? Ange Ball's the new wave, man.
Yeah, I'm having these kids calling each other mate by the end of the season. Or
no question. All right, hey, let's think about some closing thoughts, boys. Mike, what do you got on your mind as we head towards the finish line?
As we head towards the finish line, we have a game on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
3:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, against the Bubble Boys from West Ham.
You see that Calvin Phillips drama?
What has he done now?
Did he flip off a...
He flipped off a fan that was giving him crap after the game, yeah. Well, Calvin, he seems like a lost soul. You know, I think we might have fixed him, actually, had we gotten him a while back, but he's a lost soul.
He wanted to play for Bielsa. It's his fault, you know?
It's true.
No, I mean, we have West Ham coming up. West Ham, who was up 3-1 and bottled the end of that fucking game. Honestly, I thought West Ham had won the game against Newcastle, and I was going to shit all over Newcastle. And then I said to Steve at McKee's, looked at us like, yeah, West Ham got one over on Newcastle. And he goes, no, they didn't. And I was like, what? From the time I got out of my vehicle in the parking lot to the time I went into McKee's, ordered my beer, and sat down and started watching the game, West Ham had bottled everything.
Harvey Barnes comes in, scores, gets himself sent off.
Was it Harvey Barnes?
I think so.
I thought it was what's his nuts? The kid that we were forget it. Anyway.
The kid.
What's his nuts?
I'll look it up. Let's see. Was it Harvey? It was Harvey Barnes.
He Google scored
it. It was Harvey.
Just
Google what's his nuts.
Anthony Gordon's the one who got sent
Anthony
off.
Gordon. Yeah. That kid. The kid that we thought we were going to get from. He was with Chelsea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why do we go after these Chelsea?
No, he was. Wasn't he Everton?
Oh, right. Everton. Yeah.
He was with a blue team.
Yeah.
A blue team.
You know, they overpaid for him. And
he was with Hoffenheim, actually.
Yes,
I'm giving myself credit on that reference. I pulled that out of nowhere. Pretty good.
Good Hoffenheim reference.
Thank you.
So we got West Ham coming up, I expect a win. I don't care if it's an away game. Is it an away game?
Yes, it is an away game.
It is.
It's in East London. West Ham in East London. I expect a win out of it. That's not my final thoughts. My final thoughts are these. We got a game coming up at Virtue Field on Wednesday. And anybody
up the green.
If anybody has the opportunity to get out to the match, I'm going to have an extra ticket probably because Amy will not go in the rain. It's going to rain all day and then start snowing for the game. So with 15 mile per hour winds, it's going to be great.
That's going to be miserable.
It's going to be fucking miserable, and it's going to be awesome.
It's like our Vermont Spurs buddy said. There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Steve, will you take the little guy to this one, or will he stay home so that you can stay for the whole match? What's your game plan there?
We'll see. I would love to bring him. He wants to go.
Stay for the match. come down and cheer for us. Come down and cheer for us. I'm guaranteeing that at least one of my children will not be there. That said,
but you get to vote who
we.
Which kid do you want to show?
Go to our Twitter at Wickets Percy and vote which child gets to go to the game.
The other child will be doing wind sprints in the backyard.
Actually, Lucas has speed and strength that day, so I don't know if he's...
There I go.
He'll be doing box jumps and wind sprints. Vermont Green, they're playing Carolina Core. Carolina Core is an MLS Next Pro team. I think that Vermont have a better chance at winning this game than they did at the previous game. The players on this team, so MLS Next Pro is generally a minor leagues, a proving ground, a place for MLS teams to send their players when they draft them and they're not quite ready yet. So what happens is that you get all these like Revolution 2, Columbus Crew 2, and then you have a smattering of teams that are non-affiliated. So they don't have an affiliate club. They're an independent team within the MLS Next Pro. So yes, they do have that, like, it's MLS Next Pro is kind of like put it with USL Championship, like next to each other. So it's like the second tier down, but they generally have younger kids playing. They don't have the proven pros that the USL Championship and USL One have. So we talked about Cameron Lancaster, who was a Spurs Academy product, who is the highest scoring player in the history of the USL. He played for the team that we played last time out. This time out, they have Carolina Core has two starters that are 16 and 17 years old. So I can't imagine that these kids are going to be able to come in and be impactful, like in a way that, say a Cameron Lancaster, say a proven pro at Lex SC,
a 32-year-old man would be
right. I mean, right. So they're not going to be able to go up against these kids who have been playing, and let's face it, very, very, very high level NCAA soccer. I see this game actually being winnable and not as much of a surprise as we would have, you know, imagined with our first match. So we win this match, we get to actually face, possibly face a USL Championship or an MLS team in the third round, because that's when they start, those MLS teams start falling in.
Yeah.
There's eight of them, but I mean, so the chance that you get to play one of them may be slim, but you know, maybe we get to see like a matchup with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, you know, something like that. They came in as a USL Championship team and shocked the Columbus Crew, right? So, like, that shit happens. Vermont Green have a really great chance, and they're going to be the men basically playing against the little boys. You know, they don't have that team doesn't have maybe three guys who start. And they haven't rotated at all this season. So, and they barely got past the USL 2 team in their first round. And they're just not a good team.
Gonna be good stuff. Looking forward to it.
I'm very, very excited. It's gonna be in the snow. I'm gonna be there with my megaphone. Lily will be up front with me. She's my ride or die on the rail there. To the left of me will be Jason Weed, our friend who provided me with this wonderful beer tonight. To the right of me will be my daughter and our good friend Tyson. I'm going to mention Tyson because he's probably going to listen to this pod and the next one, because he is a West Ham fan. I'll mention Tyson. He's a great guy. So those are my crew on the line, and our friend Terry, who is the head brewer at Pro Pig. So
very nice.
There we go. Lots of shout outs tonight. My closing thoughts.
Absolutely. Mike just throwing names
up
everywhere.
Up the fucking green.
Absolutely.
And Tyler, we're sorry about your bad decision making, but hey, you know, maybe there's always room for change and recovery.
It's Tyson, but
sorry, it's Tyson. Yeah.
No, Tyler's in our crew too. He's a right. Liverpool fan.
Hey, Tyler. Yeah. Also bad decision making. Steve, how about you? What's on your mind?
My mind is full of worries, but that could just be the anxiety disorder. No, I'm looking at our next three games. West Ham coming up tomorrow. At the weekend, we have Forest, and then the following weekend is Newcastle. They're all winnable games, and that's what scares me, because we have not looked great for long stretches of our last games, and you know, we're coming into the next one off of a short rest period, and then we've got another, you know, shortish rest period going to Forest, or I guess Forest is coming to us, but What's concerning to me is that we should absolutely be winning these games. We should be getting 9 out of 9 points over the next 3 games. Will we, though, is an entirely different conversation. This West Ham game in particular concerns me a little. Yeah, this wet spam game in particular concerns me, mostly because for whatever reason, this team always plays us as if it's like the Champions League final and everything's on the line. They need to win this game.
Remember that time Gareth Bale could have sealed the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. We ended up drawing.
I still remember when we were, you know, runaway winners, and then they just came back and fucked us right at the end. But yeah, I'm really, I agree with you, Mike. I think we're going to get the win against Wet Spam. I think we'll probably win and get 9 out of 9. I don't expect it to be pretty. If we draw or even lose any of these games, I have a feeling that Ange would go ballistic. Simply because, you know, the tactics are there. I know what he's trying to do. The players just aren't executing on it. And that is incredibly frustrating as a fan to watch, but I'm sure it's got to be more frustrating for him, who desperately wants to be a winner. You know, he's proven that he can be a winner. He's got the right mindset. He's not looking to finish in fourth. You know, he wants to push and win every single fucking game so that we can be at the highest possible position on the table. Fourth is not good enough for Ange. And I think that if these players do not show up, if we do not get 9 out of 9 points, I would see it as a massive, massive disappointment. And I think, you know, the next time we meet next week to chat about West Ham and about Forest, if we're not 6 points richer at that point, I think we need to seriously start looking at some of these individuals who are not pulling their weight and call them out. You know, I've started to do that a little bit, you know, with Bissouma, throwing him under the bus a bit. But, you know, I'll start taking names down, you know, if that's what it takes. Hey, remember last time we called Sun out, he went on a fucking huge run of form and you know, started scoring goals. So if these players are listening to Wicked Spursy and I need to personally light a fire under their ass, because we all know that they are, you know, being the premier Vermont-based Tottenham Hotspur podcast.
I think it's likely, yeah.
Yeah, I'd listen to us. So, you know, I'll light that fire if I have to. But, you know, for you guys listening to it, just do your job against West Ham. Get the points against Forest, and you know, you'd have nothing to worry about.
Can we mention one more thing about what Ange said, too, in this press conference? He was asked a question about being worried about Manchester United.
I love that question. And then being 8 points away.
Right. And we still have a game in hand on them. I mean, it's Man City, but fine. We still have a game in hand on them. Or it's Chelsea.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the reporter that asked him if he thought Manchester United had a chance.
No, that's my point.
Okay.
My point is that, like, we have a game in hand. We still have a game in hand on them, and it's either Chelsea or
we're Man both City. On 29 played.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Either way, it doesn't fucking matter, because the point was the point that
my Ange point made, was irrelevant.
My point was irrelevant. And the point that matters is that Ange had said we're only eight points behind Man City. Like, and it was that quick.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's tied in and understands what's at stake here. And, you know, for all the shit that we give West Ham, they may have actually won the Premier League an extra spot with their drubbing and the team that they beat in the Europa League. So they may have actually just won us that spot. So we will thank them after we fucking beat them 3-1. tomorrow. So I just want to point that out, that Ange has all of everybody's best interests in mind, and he has Champions League places in mind.
This is a good thing
because, you know what, second place is only first loser.
You're not doing first, first or last.
Last.
That's right.
Yeah, there we go.
Robin is racing.
Actually, that's a different movie.
No, no, that's
that's Days of Thunder.
That is Days of Thunder.
Yeah, but I knew where you're going there.
First place is only second loser is actually from Dale Earnhardt. That's all NASCAR related.
Ricky Bobby. I'm going to kiss you, Ricky Bobby. Hey, as we split up tonight, Steve, what would you like to say to our loving, loyal listeners on the way out the door?
Quiz, 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 quiz.
And?
Don't be an asshole. Thanks, looking at sir. You, Mikhail Antonio.
Jeez, for no reason.
I thought you were talking about Mikhail Arteta.
No, it's not for no reason. It's because he gave Richarlison shit, and then Richarlison comes out. It's like, oh, I had mental health struggles, and you know, I had to see therapy, and now he looks like a complete asshole. So don't be Antonio. Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an Antonio. Hey, Mike, how
don't
about
be
you?
An Antonio. For me, I would say, you know, guys, it's tomorrow. We have a Vermont Green game. Please, it's going to be really, really bad weather. Wednesday. It's going to be really, really bad weather. Go out there and make sure you have your snow tires still on and be safe.
Mike, you always amuse me. Like, I enjoy waiting to see how you're going to deliver the be safe. Like, what's your prelude going to be?
You know? I have nothing, and it just comes
you know,
off.
You know, guys, it's Monday, and tomorrow's Tuesday, so be safe. But, Mike, what else would you say on the way out the door?
You know what, guys? Tottenham Hotspur action. It's fantastic.